Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... How to Get on Santa's Naughty List.
How to Get on Santa's Naughty List?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can think of a few things.
This one from Ed Crawley. Thanks, Ed, for that one.
Thanks, Ed. With us to try to figure out how to get on Santa's Naughty List, we have Dave Bulmer.
Hello! It's Christmas!
What
a lot of fun we're going to have.
It's Dave Bulmer, our Christmas correspondent.
The Lives of Pitch podcast answer to Noddy Holder.
I'm speaking to you. I like how you have to narrow it down and narrow it down until you find an arena where I'm the equivalent to Noddy Holder in that little toy box. I'm not even the hairiest one here.
So, how's it going, Dave?
You all right, Tar? Yeah, I mean, it's always busy, isn't it? I'm trying to hammer some things together, and inevitably, the big Christmas song stroke video that I'm planning to release on Christmas Day, it's not coming out on Christmas Day, is it? Come on, let's be realistic. It never does. But we'll see.
So, do you want to hear some honourable mentions?
I'd love to.
Yeah. Well, Ed Crawley got in touch with us on facebook.com/ Life's a Bitch podcast. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show, where you could give us your titles there. We ask for genres every week. So go there, give us a follow, give us a like, and you can give us your titles.
I've thought of a tagline for how to get on Santa's Naughty List. I'm not going to tell you it until we get there, but I've got a tagline for it.
Cool. Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear it.
I've written it down.
Ah, yes. Good note taking. That's what this podcast needs. Good old fashioned minutes.
So we've got one from @ Otto Oddball, and that is Revenge of the Fruitcake.
Ooh.
Well, fruitcake as an entity is annoyed that children basically don't like it.
But also, here's the thing. Fruitcake. Yeah. Now, imagine it. I want you to imagine a piece of fruitcake.
Yeah. Okay. I'm okay. I'm doing that.
Very, very rich.
Oh, yes.
Right? Very rich flavor. Very sickly sweet in that dried fruit saccharine way. What happens if you don't eat enough food, proper food, before you eat that rich saccharine syrupy fruitcake? It repeats on you. You can taste it for the rest of the day, and you got that kind of heartburn thing, and you keep tasting fruitcake. Mm. That is the revenge of the fruitcake. So I think we can tie these two concepts together in that the adults are eating fruitcake.
And just have a film of just puking children. Revenge of the fruitcake.
The adults are eating fruitcake.
And they're all puking up fruitcake.
I feel like it's a sort of like the thing style thing where essentially if you eat the fruitcake, it burps itself back up again and tries to infect the next person.
Oh, what? You're puking it into the next person's mouth and they're...
Not puking it, it's just like a vapor.
Okay. Oh, I see.
How does that show the meaning of Christmas?
Because the way to get rid of it is
very festive so far, isn't it?
Is to learn to respect each other's tastes.
Well, that or Tums.
That or... Sorry?
You never had Tums?
No.
Oh, they'll do you a world of good. Once you've had your fruitcake, get yourself a little packet of Tums. That's you sorted out. That's
Am
you sorted out.
Am I thinking of fruitcake or Christmas cake, or are they the same thing? The ones that you set on fire?
That's Christmas pudding.
You're thinking of Christmas pudding there? I don't know what that is. I've never really thought about it.
Christmas pudding is like mushed up fruit with a load of brandy over the top.
Yeah,
of it.
It's more or less the same thing, right?
Yeah,
it's a different shape.
Cake is a little drier, right?
So I think that Christmas cake and Christmas pudding are basically two branches of the same tradition, but because we because we kind of have them both. We don't admit that. You know, like how Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving dinner in America, they try and separate them off as different food. And they're incorrect. It's all
feasting.
It's all having a big poultry-based dinner, isn't it?
It's all winter-based feasting.
Yeah?
So I was thinking this Christmas pudding. Right.
Evil Christmas pudding.
Yeah. Like, well, we have the bit where all the kids throw it up and stuff, and it's like the thing and stuff. But it's also sentient, and it sets people on fire.
I mean, it's not, but it's the Christmas cake. It's not a pudding. Yeah.
But
it's different.
But it sets people on fire. It teams up with the Christmas pudding, and the Christmas pudding is like, "Hey, they set me on fire."
But it's okay, because it's all right, because all it says is the fruit cake, which describes both forms of cake. Yeah. Right?
All right. Well, if you like. I mean, I'm more of a Christmas cake, Christmas pudding purist, apparently, than everyone else in the room.
No, maybe. This could well be. I don't eat either, because I don't like them.
Neither do I. Yeah, but I just feel like they are distinct versions of things I don't like.
Yeah.
But what I thought would be cool was, like, you know how at Christmas dinner you've got like someone hates sprouts,
yeah,
and then other people at the table are trying to convince that person who hates sprouts to eat sprouts,
yeah,
right? Well, there's a whole like rift in this family Christmas table because someone doesn't want to eat sprouts, and I'm not talking about like a kid, I'm talking like an adult, yeah, doesn't like sprouts. And everyone tries to make them eat sprouts, and then they have an angry, and it's like, oh, is Christmas threatened? And then somehow that anger infects the. Is it Christmas cake that you put the like sixpence in and you find it in a piece?
That's Christmas pudding again.
Okay, well that's fine too.
All these traditions mixed up.
Yeah, no, sorry. The reason I said yes, but I knew the answer was pudding there purely because I was getting. I was stuck on trying to imagine how this was going to tie into the pink goo from Ghostbusters 2, because you were obviously about to introduce the concept of Christmas pudding that in some way echoes back people's negative emotions.
Yep, that's exactly what it does.
So, and I'm thinking
somehow the magic
in this,
is a wish.
I'm thinking in this equation, the closest thing to the Ghostbusters goo has to be the brandy. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the secret.
There's something
and they've got
in
to
the
set
brandy.
It on fire.
Yeah,
to kill it.
In order to stop it, everyone has to burp into the center and set it all on fire.
Well, if you like, but the reason that you set it Christmas pudding on fire, I think, is because of the brandy, right? Isn't that the flammable bit? So what if all this time the Christmas puddings have been trying to rise up in this way, but we just set them on fire as a matter of course before they had chance, and this is the one year when. For some reason, someone didn't and just left it for long enough.
This hits onto a slightly more Lovecraftian note, right? Mm. This hits onto a sort of like the reason that our ancestors started burning Christmas pudding was to exorcise the evil spirits, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like also putting a sixpence in there is supposed to be like, Christmas cake, Christmas pudding, both, they are. Like lightning rods for negative emotion at Christmas.
Okay.
That's why people have arguments.
Okay.
Is because all the negativity of the year is drawn like a sponge or like a lightning rod in a storm to this Christmas cake. That's why it's so rich.
Revenge of the Fruit Cake.
There we go. That was a good film, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a good film. Would you like to hear another one?
Yes.
We've got one here from Tomasz Chodakowski, and that is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Delivery Drone.
Oh, well. Okay, yikes. So this is a delivery drone for working for Amazon.
Yeah.
Which is, it's one of these ones that delivers directly to, like, your like, I seem to remember that they were going to deliver to your roof or something.
What?
I have this vague memory of that. Maybe not, but I do seem to remember that they were going to do these Amazon delivery drones that were going to in some way deliver things in a way that you needed a certain type of like you needed to be rich to even have it happen. You needed
you need
a
to
balcony.
Have an Amazon pad installed.
Well, almost. You needed a balcony or something. But anyway, this is an Amazon delivery drone with a little blinking red light on it just because they do. but which has in some way fallen out of favour with the other Amazon delivery drone.
It's got a little quirk in the code.
Yeah.
Has given it an ounce more sentience and sentiment than the others. And so as they're doing their things efficiently, this Rudolph, it's got to be like RD1 0.
PH. It has to be like RUDOLPH.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I'm trying to think of why the actual Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, his whole thing was that he was teased because he had a red nose, which is kind of odd to think about now, because we all just take it for granted so much that a reindeer might have a red nose that it seems like he'd be the best one. But they all hated him because of his stupid nose. So why would an Amazon delivery drone be annoyed about the blinking light on another Amazon delivery drone? It's not like they're trying to be stealthy, is it?
I would debate that fundamental thing, because nowhere in the song does it say that they make the fun out of Rudolph because of the shiny nose.
That's
just
true.
That they used to laugh and call him names.
They did. Although they all loved him after his nose was put to use. No, they loved him after Santa favoured him. It doesn't even necessarily have to be about his nose at all.
They could be sycophants.
That could be a red herring or a red nose.
So, right, like, it has the red... I mean, the red nose sort of has to be the thing that defines... The assumption is that the red nose is defining Rudolph from the rest of the pack, right?
Yes.
And they're in a kind of ugly duckling way, difference is ridiculed, and therefore... but does that...
For an Amazon delivery drone, what kind of flaw be that an Amazon delivery drone would have?
Well, I imagine that maybe all the Amazon drones have, like, a little light in the front, and it's just always blue. It's for scanning things.
Yeah.
And then at some point, whenever Rudolph's thing... Whenever he like does something specific, the blue flickers to red and it shines out red for some reason.
What it is that the blue light means that the drone is working properly, and when the red light comes on, that means that there's an error. But this drone isn't reporting in to get its error fixed. It's just continuing to deliver stuff, and all of the other Amazon delivery drones laugh at calling names. I don't know.
And don't allow it to join any of the Amazon drone games.
Delivery drone games, yeah.
Well, I think it's a sort of Pixar short kind of vibe to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Like Wall-E in a way.
But, okay, got it, right? This error. Okay, this is dark. this error, like, basically, they all knock him out, and you see this sad time of, like, Wall-E style, oh, this robot is crying sort of thing, going off into the distance, like, oh, man, I'm not allowed to do my job anymore. My parcel's been knocked into the sewer.
Oh,
like, everything's gone wrong. And then, like, it's flying out into the snow. Chug, 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 chug. Suddenly, boof. Falls into the snow, and then footstep next to it, these military boots with green trousers, picks it up and says, it's okay, you're coming with, like, it's okay, you're coming with me. They bring it into a nice, warm, orange-lit sort of area, and they open up the back, and it's like, finally, we found this military chip for the drone that we needed for doing bad military firing at things. And then all the drones like Rudolph.
Yeah.
Because they've got no other choice.
And then he had the backing of the military.
I feel like that keeps the the vibe of the Rudolph song. As soon as Rudolph is valued by a greater power, suddenly all the drones love Rudolph.
Yeah, and in this case, the higher power is the presumably United States military.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Rudolph, there you go. Nose reindeer. You'll destroy all history.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What a nice
Rudolph the Red Nose
dark
Rudolph
military
the Red-Nosed Delivery Drone.
They flew to North Korea.
So, thank you for all your titles this week. Remember to go to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show to give us your titles every week. If you're new to listening to this, then you can go there. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us your titles.
Remember, you can always find everything we pretty much have ever done as Life's a Pitch over on soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch podcast. And there you can find all of Dave's episodes, which are in a nice little, a neat little playlist, but also all the episodes we've done up to now. We're at 149 now, right?
Yeah, Jesus.
Wow. 149 episodes. So there's plenty over there to go and do.
That's loads of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes. That is a serious number of episodes. That's a long time.
Yeah.
If you were to listen to that start to end, you'd, if you were on a commute or something, that would be a hell of a commute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can go over there. Or if you like the podcast a lot and you want to help us make it even better, you can go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, where you can kick us a little bit of money each month in order for us to make the show just a little bit better. And
do it. Do it. Yeah,
if you want to join us, you can go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, and you get loads of little kickbacks and stuff. You get extra pictures each week where you can help vote for the genre we do each week. There's all sorts of stuff you can do. And of course, thanks to our current patrons. And that is Darius the Unsettling, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Ross Originals, Brent Black, and Joe Hegarty. Thank you all for helping us out and making the show a better place.
Thank you guys for those things. I've just got a few awards to give away. First one being the Yes, Very Clever Award. Those awarded to puns given on titles that already exist. This one, again, I think Ross won it last week as well, didn't he?
Oh, man, it's Ross on a roll.
Yeah, he's given us 3 wise men and a baby.
Nice.
Yeah. This week. That's good.
Ross on a roll.
And the picture film in a tweet, I'm going to go with Jingle Bell Croc again. This one again from Ross Originals. A young cook wants to publish a book of their family's old festive crock pot recipes, but the big turkey producers want to put a stop to the book before it can threaten their sales. That's, Jingle Bell Croc.
That's potentially better than any of the things we pitched this week. That's got all the right sentiment.
Yeah,
genuinely got all the right sentiment. It's got bad consumerism, good family time, all the things you need for a film.
So yeah, thank you, Ross, for those things, and thank you for everyone who contributed to those awards. So shall we move on to our main pitch this week, ladies and gentlemen?
I think so.
Yeah. From Ed Crawley, how to get on Santa's naughty list.
Right. So I was thinking about this from the start, right? And I think the way that you get on Santa's naughty list is you bring down the government. Because Santa is himself like lawful good, right? he believes in everything being okay and everything being nice and everything being fine. And what isn't okay and what isn't certainly nice is like if all of society is plunged into some kind of civil war or some kind of, you know, even an uprising that has positive effects. It has war involved along the way. There's fighting, there's naughtiness. This is a way to get on Santa's naughty list, but it's something that may have to happen, right? If things go too far.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Santa is you could argue that Santa's either authoritarian or chaotic good, right? Because he kind of breaks into people's houses to give
things,
right? If you assume he's acting from an authoritative position where that's allowed,
he's been given permission.
He also surveils the population at all times.
Okay.
Very authoritarian, right?
So what you're talking about here then is that it's not an uprising against the government. It is an uprising against Santa.
I mean, if you want, like, this is if you had a great idea for an uprising against the government, then I don't want to ruin that.
No, let's uprise against Santa, because no, it's how to get on Santa's naughty list. Basically, I'm thinking of some kind of story in which it is important and it is the good protagonist-y thing to do something bad or something that would get on Santa's naughty list. So therefore, then, the tagline of the film, How to Get on Santa's Naughty List, becomes, you can't make eggnog without breaking some eggs.
Yes! Very
wow,
good.
That was so worth it.
See, I told you I wrote it down.
So we've got... I feel like... I just want to see this in the end. We might diverge from this.
Yes.
But I feel like at the end of this... we might have someone, instead of saying Santa Claus, we end up with, like, everyone's like, oh, you better get to bed because Jennifer Jones is going to come to deliver the presents on Christmas. Doesn't matter, really, who it is, but whoever the protagonist is going to take the place of Santa, but, like, not authoritarian. I feel like there is an aspect of... like, the government has started using Santa's naughty list,
yes,
as a form of surveillance to track down people they don't like.
Right. Okay.
Because
it's foolproof. Because Santa was genuinely, Santa himself was never going to and never did abuse this system. There didn't need to be any checks and balances on it. So every little thing that we've ever done is on the list, essentially. There's a record of it all. So it is the perfect surveillance system and the perfect binary, like, judgment of who is good and who is bad in the world and can therefore simply be annihilated.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's got that kind of Captain America Civil War vibe. Captain America Winter Soldier vibe.
Santa's hit list.
Yeah. But, like, I feel like... Because here's the thing. Santa's... If we go via the Santa Claus is coming to town theorem, then Santa's abilities of surveillance aren't exactly brilliant, right? He sees you when you're sleeping, right?
Okay. Yeah.
That's when he has his full surveillance abilities.
Right, he's got his wall of screens out for that.
Yeah, but he only knows when you're awake because those screens are off.
Oh, okay.
So it's like he's been surveilling. So he can hear, like, what people are saying around you when you sleep. Right?
Yeah. Mm.
So that's the way he's using sleeping children to surveil their parents and send them away to... And then the government is then going to send them to the bad place for disagreeing with their policies or whatever. And so I think we start a child whose parents have been taken, or at least like a teenager whose parents have been taken, and then in a kind of Hunger Games style thing leads a revolt against the government because they know that they can only see me when I'm sleeping, and when I'm awake, my actions are blinded to my actions.
Yes. And you know what this means?
What does that mean?
If we're going with a Hunger Games style uprising, if we're going to use that as our model, right?
Mm, right.
Then Donald Sutherland as Santa.
Yes.
And look, quite frankly, in that he had his big white beard. He was called President Snow in that. I think we can just honestly tie this in. I think we can lift that character wholesale from the Hunger Games.
All right, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
I'm in. I am now into this film.
Yeah.
So who's our teenager?
Kelly Marie Tran.
Who's that?
From
the one from Star Wars?
The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's good.
Her star is not just rising, it's launching. Let's have her straight away, yes.
Quick, get in quick before she raises her prices. While everyone's still wondering whether it's a good film or not, that's when you strike.
Yeah, Kelly Marie Tran is the protagonist of this young adult novel style uprising slash Christmas movie.
Right, so she's... Oh, do we want to give her a name, or do we want to call her Kelly Marie Tran? We could call...
I don't know much about Kelly Marie Tran, right? But I know two things about Kelly Marie Tran. One thing... I haven't seen the film yet, so I don't even know what she's like in it. But number one is that I've seen that post being sent round on Twitter where it's... Have you seen it? Where it's, like, her on the red carpet just crying and hugging everyone because of how... And there was, I don't know if this was true or a joke, but I think I seem to remember it was true that like the rest of that day she spent jogging around in like a Wookiee costume or something and introducing herself to people, and no one believed that she was from Star Wars. And then and then that night she was on the red carpet as a big superstar and having a lovely time and crying her eyes out. That's one thing I know about her. Okay. The second thing I know about her is that a few days ago, or like, I don't know when it was, it might be like today or something. It was very recently. She was in a restaurant or somewhere, or a pub or something, and the people on the table next to her were like a load of young Star Wars fans, and they were just gushing about the film and about her in the film. And after listening to them for like an hour, she just hopped onto their table and made friends with them all and had a lovely time, and they all got selfies. So I put it to you that the protagonist should simply be Kelly Marie Tran herself. I don't think this is someone who needs characters. I think we just need her... to be in our lives in some way, and why not as the leader of this uprising against the tyrannical Father Christmas regime?
I'll tell you why, Dave.
Why?
Because we're about to have her parents kidnapped.
Oh no! Oh. Well, they have to be killed, do they? They can be kidnapped, and she can save them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Let's have that then. Kelly Marie Tran is so she wakes up one day, like, and I'm going to say that like. Canonically, in this, her dad is is part of the opposition party, right? Mm. And so, like, the government, President Snow, wants to run unopposed. So, in this faux democracy, and so like, he's removing opposition.
Yeah.
So, therefore, can see into the thing, knows when people are going to bed and all that stuff. When, at night, Kelly Marie Tran has a vision, like a dream, in which she can see into Santa's surveillance room.
Oh, what if she is a super cyberpunk hacker type character? And she does, in fact, hack into the surveillance room. Equipment,
and so she can Santa's grotto.
Yeah,
yeah. The grotto is like the Matrix.
Think of this. Think of how cool it would be to have like cyberpunk characters fighting Santa Claus. That'd be great.
That would be great. And now we are.
So
we're living the dream.
So what do you reckon the method is by which Santa sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake? You're going to touch on that.
I think you'll find it's his army of Amazon delivery drones. They're not actual Amazon delivery drones, but the technology from that has been like the elves have been working on it because they're only little elves, so they've made their own ones that are really little. So they basically buzz in through cracks in walls. They are like tiny little flies. And of course, the Rudolph story from earlier can be woven into this.
So how do we justify the sleeping awake dichotomy?
It's just that's when you wouldn't notice the drones. So they enter as soon as they detect that a person is sleeping. That's when they enter to do the surveillance.
Right. Got it. So, yeah. So as soon as you wake up, they flitter away.
Yeah.
Okay. But the thing is, if we do that, then we sort of have to have the thing where now she's aware of them, they can just blatantly follow her.
Yeah.
Whereas before, if we make it magic and they can't see her when she's awake, then she's almost a ghost in the system.
Yeah. Well, oh. Yeah. How do we cover that?
Oh, I know. It's only her that has this dichotomy applied to her because she's got special contact lenses that shut, like hacker contact lenses that shut down drones in her when she's looking at them.
Okay.
As soon as she sees a drone, it fizzles out and falls to the ground.
Right.
So I'm thinking she takes one down and then reprograms it so it's hers.
Yeah.
She's got like a little pet drone following her around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, so it's a cute one as well. It's got a red light on it that blinks blue. And sometimes
all the other,
it like,
all
looks
the
like
other drones,
be...
all the other drones don't like it because it's an enemy one.
It's cool. She calls it Rudolph, the red-nosed drone.
And sometimes it like flickers back to working for Santa, but then like it comes back. So it's got this weird dual personality thing that makes it quite funny. There's like it starts advancing behind her with a knife, like it's gonna deliver a knife to her, and then just flickers back to red,
but it is just gonna deliver a knife. It's in an Amazon box.
Exactly. It's like it's taking Santa's instructions literally, and so like because it was a government drone. She's replaced the chip with an Amazon delivery drone, a modified Amazon delivery chip drone chip, so that, like, whenever Santa sends the instruction to, like, put a knife in her back or whatever, like, it just, like, puts, like,
you're gonna have to deliver her pain.
Yeah.
Put a box knife into it. Delivers a knife. A boxed knife.
Dumb.
Going back to this world building, is this a world where Christmas has taken over the world? Like,
I think it's sort of a world in which people regularly get presents for behaving well, according to the government.
So Christmas has taken over. Santa Claus has infiltrated the government.
I don't think we need to specifically tie it to like an alternate timeline of Earth or whatever. I feel like we just, although that's quite cool.
He went so genuinely thoughtful just then. Yeah. Wait, oh,
that's quite cool.
So I'm thinking Santa Claus has infiltrated the government. He's grown
beard,
like public. What's the word?
Beard.
Public beard.
Public beard.
No,
public hair.
Public adoration, public... All the public love him. Like, he's grown
all
and
the
grown,
reindeer
grown in
love
popularity.
Him.
And he's become...
populist.
President of Earth.
He's grown in popularity and all the... Like, now, I haven't got any time for Santa Claus. But after his infiltration of the government, his star's on the rise.
Well, that's when he keeps saying, "Oh, I'm candidate Snow, Senator Snow, or whatever."
Yeah.
And then President Snow.
Yeah.
And then that is when he's like, "And I'm Santa Claus. You all forgotten me."
Yeah.
Now
I feel like his party before the election, like. Called an impromptu Christmas and basically sent with these drones that they'd been doing. They found out what each individual person wanted so badly and sent it via drone to their house. And so like, it was like a quick bribe before polling day.
Oh. Yeah.
And so like, and this happens regularly. As soon as every time a bad thing happens, like a terrorist attack or like the government cracks down on this, that or the other, or cuts this, that or the other, they just send a token present.
Yeah.
To make them ignore what's going on.
Yeah.
And so like, that's how he's come to power. That this populist sort of like, well, things keep getting better for me. I've got a new grill.
I really just want to cut to that scene where it's just that voice doing that. Things are getting better for me. I got a new grill.
Things are getting better over here. I got a new grill. Next door neighbor got a blender. Absolutely amazing. I like how I'm doing flavor commentary for a sport right now. Like, absolutely amazing, Bob. He's delivered a blender and a grill on the same day.
That's right, John, and that's John Boyega. That's right, John. My kid got a new bike and will be voting when he turns 18.
Okay, so yeah, dumb people are ignoring the fact that, like, minorities of various kinds are being essentially picked off through this populist fascist government and their surveillance tactics. And
can't imagine that would happen.
Really? Oh, nah. Man. I mean, like, I understand it's a sci-fi, a far-flung sci-fi concept, but...
Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, if we're doing sci-fi, then it's fine. Yeah.
Suspend that disbelief for a little while.
Okay, I'll try.
So it's going to be a tough...
Kelly Marie Tran finds...
her parents gone, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the end of Act 1. Yeah. I was just remembering, like, how does she get put on this adventure?
Yeah, her parents are gone, and she, being a cyber hacker person who has this magic contact lens that can, like, see into the can shut down those drones and see into the circuitry of them, see into the database, and therefore when she's sleeping, she has, like, a direct link into the Santa's Grotto mainframe. Like, she can see in and see that everyone's being watched, so she's got that greater sort of perception. And therefore a personal link with President Snow. She sets out and she's like hiding through the city. We've got to introduce now another friendly character, right?
Yeah.
We've got her and her sidekick. We're going to need someone who is resistant to her and then becomes comes on side.
Okay, so what about, you know how you always get like a jaded character who's like, kid, I've been in this war for 19 years or whatever.
I was going to say the exact same character. Woody Harrelson plays a conspiracy theorist from before the President Snow era.
Yeah.
That's the character I was going for.
I was going to say some kind of vicar. Like, like,
we can have a whole team of people. We can have all of these.
Someone who is like on... Ostensibly, right? You'd be on, as a vicar, you'd be on the side of Christmas.
Well, but here's the thing. Yes, the vicar would be on the side of Christmas, but not on the side of Father Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? But here's the thing. I think the Woody Harrelson, like, jaded old hand character, he should be pro-Christmas. This is a guy who, he's old enough to remember when, but like, Santa Claus and elves and stuff was, like, vital part of Christmas cheer. And yeah. Even though there's now a war on against them, and it's all trendy for you young SJWs to be against Father Christmas, he likes Father Christmas. He doesn't like the war, and he's annoyed that everyone has to fight for. So he's out on his own. He's in no man's land. He's got a little shack somewhere, and he's just trying to batten down with canned food and avoid the war for as long as he possibly can.
He likes what Santa and elves used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
What they used to represent.
He likes the idealized version of Christmas. Yeah. I'm thinking maybe he betrays the group later on.
Okay.
We lead the audience to believe that the vicar is going to betray them. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. The
vicar played by Jeremy Irons plays the vicar.
Okay.
Weirdly called Father Christmas.
Now that's confusing.
No, that is confusing. Let's not have that.
Confusingly called Father Dibley.
Yes. So I feel like, yeah, we've got sort of like this outwardly, we've got to stop this thing happening. I know all this stuff about previous, like, the conspiracy theorist guy on the one hand, and we've got this person who you'd expect to be in authority on the other hand, And you know, like in sort of like Firefly, where everyone thinks that the new guy has been the traitor, etc. Like it's that sort of thing, right? They come across this vicar who's living out in like a junkyard or something, like an abandoned village.
An abandoned church.
Yeah. Yes. And there's just the... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
And it's, His congregation is filled with all weird-looking Henson types.
Yeah, wait, yeah. But people who've sort of withered away into, like... this is the end result of being given these consumerist toys, is that you start to sort of, like, lose your desire to do anything but... become like this programmed machine that just gets paid in these like little kind of, oh, brilliant, I got a little nugget of a present. It's like a Skinner box, you know, like pigeons just...
We all gave up working because we were just getting gifts and then we realised we weren't getting any food.
So, like, people have been reduced to Henson puppetry.
Another great sentence.
It just sounds like, you know, when all else fails, when you're out of a job and down on your luck, join the Jim Henson Company as a puppeteer. Oh, we've all been forced into Jim Henson puppetry. We all have to sing Rainbow Connection for our supper.
So they're going through there, and then in order to get through there, because obviously these people are like they'll totally give up whoever comes through the city, through this town. For anything, they'll be like, for an extra present, I will do anything for the government, because they want to be the first one to do it, because they know someone's going to do it, but they just want to be the first one.
Yeah.
So this whole party is now going to have to hide, which is what's her name? Sorry, I've forgotten our protagonist.
Kelly Marie Tran.
Kelly, yeah. So Kelly Marie Tran and a hacker man, like a conspiracy theorist fella, and also this drone are trying to hide away, and they find they're being chased by these people who are all shambling and stumbling around because their backs are all hunched over from waiting, from scooping down to pick up stuff from the letterbox.
And from operating all those Skeksis.
Yeah. and they get to the church. And they bust in through the church, and there's Jeremy Irons, who is so focused. He doesn't like the commercial aspect of Christmas. It's more about the sentiment, the family, the everything. So he hasn't been taking these things. In fact, he's got a pile of presents that he kind of swept into the corner. Like, it's just this pile of stuff in the corner.
But he's really annoyed because he swept them under a tree and now it looks really festive.
I mean, everybody probably likes that. He probably likes that feel. Yeah. So, and then presumably a little bit later on, they're in a dangerous position. They're trying to get into the main facility at Snow Incorporated, right?
Yeah.
Is this in the North Pole?
No, it's in...
No, Tom! Don't be ridiculous, Tom!
How did we get from an abandoned English rural village to flipping, like, North Pole? How are we doing that?
Easy. By sleigh. How else do you get from an English village to the North Pole?
Well, there we are. Ooh. All right. They're breaking into the central thing, the central facility of this. It's where she, in her dreams, she is seeing Santa, and she's had like a couple of philosophical conversations with him in like dream form, a little bit like the end of the Matrix, but Matrix, not tedious. Yeah. Because it does happen like screen to screen, right? Like, she's looking out of her screen while she's asleep, and in the first one, Santa's like Santa's got his back turned, and then like notices her, and then she wakes up because it's like a bad dream. That's the one just before her parents get taken, right? Mm.
It keeps cutting back to her having sort of not conversations with Santa, but seeing him looking at everyone sleeping.
Yeah, but I think at some point, maybe just before they break in, like, he's there, it's dark, because it's middle of the night.
Mm.
There's no one in the room except for President Snow, and he's got that kind of, like, white, sort of like the screen glare effect. He's lit only by the screen. Clearly all the other screens are off.
Mm.
And he's only looking at this screen. He's like, how are you doing this? Like, sort of he's seriously bothered by the fact that there's a glitch in the system that allows her to see back into him.
And she's like being surveilled. You know? It's my magical contact lenses.
She does not tell him that.
Like, I feel as though there's got to be a thing where she mentions the bloody contact lenses.
Yeah, but that... just someone else other than the bad guy. Somewhere in the first third of the film rather than the last quarter.
Maybe he asks her how she's doing it and she just taps her nose. And little
she pokes herself in the eye.
little bits of glitter sort of sparkle out like, as she's tapping her nose.
We've made the assumption already that it's been that the magic contact lens has been introduced to the audience. We don't need that at the moment.
But he's like, how is she doing this? And it's just,
guys, ding, ding, ding. guys, just go and watch Doctor Who.
We don't need to explain it. He's like, well, how are you doing this? And he's like, do you really think these people would be happier? They were tired. They were working every day. They were arguing with each other, becoming more and more divided over their dinner tables. They were, you know...
couldn't agree on those dinner tables.
They were marching through towns.
In a one-horse open sleigh.
ready to hurt each other. I had to take control. I had to do something. And she's like, well, you did the wrong thing.
Well, that's not the meaning of being human.
The meaning of
being
that
human
is
hard
ghost.
Work. It's commitment. And it's not getting anything for a free ride. This is something she has to learn early on in the film.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And like she's like, you took my parents, and now I'm gonna take your power.
She gets a bow and arrow out, with tinsel around the arrow. Oh no, the bow's got tinsel instead of a bowstring. It's a Christmas bow and arrow.
All right, if you want.
It's got a Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. She's also wearing like a hat, all the way through the film, like an elf's hat.
Oh right, what? Yeah.
Because it's a Christmas movie. That's why.
The main bad guy's Santa Claus, and we've had a load of scenes where the meaning of Christmas is considered. That's enough.
Well, maybe the
just let me
wearing...
have this one. I maybe just want her wearing... in an elf hat the entire movie and a bow made of tinsel.
Maybe the reason she's wearing an elf hat is that she took it from the first elf she kills
by accident.
Yeah, of course, because all the kind of the stormtroopers of this world have like these PVC green boots and like striped armor on this like it's ridged. In those elf stripes,
they've got
wands that fire out like phaser blasts.
All the elves are like they're all played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're all dressed in like elf attire, but just huge and like really muscly.
Is that something in the poster you can put him in the what's the film
Jingle All the Way? Maybe. I haven't decided yet.
So anyway, they break in to this to this compound, but then the alarms start going off, and they're like, "What's happening?" And then
we've broken in.
Yeah. Well, no, but the alarms start going off. They think they've got in just fine without setting any alarms off, and then the guy who stayed back to try and switch the alarms off,
Woody Harrelson,
yeah, the guy who's he's selling them out to get a better ride. He was like, I needed an, I'm sorry, guys, I needed a new graphics card. And they had the best one. I can't even imagine having a graphics card that good for my whole life.
How do they even make these things out of wood anyway?
So they get captured, brought up before. I imagine they probably get to the prison to release her parents first, right?
Mm.
So we've got that they're reunited, and then the alarms go off. They get captured and brought up before Santa. So now they're in they're in Santa's throne room in front of all those TVs, like Ozymandias.
Westminster Abbey.
Yes,
that's where Santa's throne room is.
It's like in Watchmen. You know, it's got all the screens like Ozymandias has.
I think everyone gets like the end of the Matrix Reloaded, where there's a ton of TV screens that guy who looks like Father Christmas is watching.
Oh my God, what have we done?
So, like, how does everything come around so that she kills Santa Claus or whatever?
I think it's got to be the final sort of punch thrown. Everyone's fighting. They're having physical fights with all these Arnold Schwarzenegger goons trying to stop being blown up. Because
Jeremy Irons is punching the Arnie elves in the face.
Oh,
the drones
Irons
flying around going beep, 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 and dropping boxes on them and stuff.
Jeremy Irons says, "Oh, you wouldn't hurt a man of the faith, would you?" And he's holding up a cross, and then just like clocks Arnie over the head, and they're fighting, and then at some point they're being suppressed. They're about to be captured. Everyone's getting captured, and then the little drone flies over to the main console and plugs itself into the whole network and uploads its own code that she's been working on all this way, and all the presents like turn into I haven't figured out a way for this to sort of like reimburse everyone all of their joy and soul.
I think all the presents just sort of, it's all been Santa magic, so all the presents just sort of disappear and they're left with nothing. So it's kind of a bittersweet ending, but also, like, they've all lost their presents and stuff, but everyone finds the meaning of togetherness.
Everyone, yes, I tell you what, that's it. All the presents disappear and everyone's, like, looking around, like, what's happening? Like, in their kind of feral consumerist state.
Yeah.
And then they walk out their front doors, and because everyone's in the street, previously they've all been sat at home, never opening their doors, everyone's in the street, they all look at each other and like, oh, I haven't seen you for ages. And then they hug, and then they set up tables outside and they all have a big street party.
Mm.
And it's Christmas again.
That's very nice.
England's biggest Christmas. And that's the end of the thing.
The end of the Hooray! Film.
We could go back and add a love triangle in there at some point, because it is a YA novel film thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that as well. But
why animals have to have love triangles, and they're not deemed legitimate.
Well, let's just say she falls in love with an elf played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, and he dies, and that's his hat that she wears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah,
that's
there we go. Her boyfriend at the start of the film is Arnold Schwarzenegger,
Oh yeah, I forgot they were all Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And when her parents are kidnapped and she looks too deeply into it, he is forced to try and arrest her, and then to get away, she is forced to kill him and therefore takes his hat to remember him by.
Yes.
Cool. So that was How to Get on Santa's Naughty List.
I think it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it works as a movie.
Okay. So, thanks everyone for giving us your titles, and thank you for listening. Remember to go to Life's a Bitch Podcast on Facebook, facebook.com/ Life's a Bitch Podcast, and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show. Remember, if you want to help us by supporting us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/ Life's a Bitch Podcast as well. Give us donations every month for rewards. Some of them will be up there.
Basically, what we're saying is sign up to our scheme and you will be given presents irregularly to help keep you on that scheme.
Shut up.
Maybe we'll randomise some of them.
Thank you, Dave, for coming on.
That's all right.
Where can the people find your whole business, Dave?
Yeah.
Well, they can find me on YouTube at Demon Tomato Dave or Bulma Boops Buttons if they want to see games, or twitch.tv/ Demon Tomato Dave, or my podcast, which comes out intermittently, but several new episodes of which have been recorded and almost edited, so there should be quite a lot of them in the coming days, is called, what is it called? It's called Serious Disney. So you can go and find that on iTunes or wherever you like. And if you want to, if you're still in the Christmas spirit after all this, then go to wigglehee.com and you'll find all of my, well, not all of my, you will find my Christmassy stories, which are being uploaded there as we speak. There's more and more being added. So go and have a look at that.
Yes. Specifically, I'd like to talk about Serious Disney in terms of like the existing episodes, mm-hmm. which Frozen has been made an unofficial Christmas movie. So, you know, it's like it's got snow in it and family. Therefore,
it's a
Christmas movie.
What do you mean? I thought you meant that somebody had awarded it the status of an official Christmas movie, and the news had just come out today or something.
There's official and unofficial Christmas movies. There are the ones that have Christmas in them are official.
Yes.
Or about
the ones
Christmas.
The ones that are fully about Christmas and have Santa in them and stuff.
And then there are two kinds of unofficial Christmas. There are things that are kind of about Christmas themes or ideas, but that don't feature Christmas directly, because they're in some kind of fantasy or sci-fi land. And there are diehards, which are, you know, they are set at Christmas, feature a lot of Christmas iconography, but aren't specifically about Christmas.
Yes.
Mm. Those are the two kinds of unofficial ones. And Frozen is the subject of the first four episodes of Serious Disney?
The first six episodes. It's just that only four of them are out so far.
Well, they're all very good. And if you want to know if you've seen Frozen over the holidays and you want to look deeper into that scrying orb.
At time of recording, the latest episode that's up is an hour long discussion of just Let It Go, and it isn't just Let It Go. We go from that, we branch off into talking about all sorts of things and like what the Disney song is, not the Disney song Let It Go. I mean the whole idea of Disney songs. We go into like marketing, we go into like Disney musicals on stage, we go into all these different areas, but it's all centered around one huge smash hit Disney song, which you never hear. We don't play it in the episode. We just talk about it, and we managed to do so for a whole hour.
If you haven't heard Let It Go, and you're listening to a Let It Go podcast episode...
No, you could. It absolutely stands up to that, because it's just a discussion of like the presence that is Let It Go, rather than any kind of deconstruction of its chord sequence or anything like that.
If you haven't, though, like heard Let It Go, I mean, how...
Yes, well done.
Share your secret.
Yeah.
I'd like to apply it to some songs. I would like to apply your avoidance tactics somehow. Anyway.
Oh, and they should also go to imaginarygumbo.com, which is where me and my wife are currently running a webcomic that they might like. I'd forgotten that.
It's good. I have it. Physical version in my hands. Not in my hands now, but sometimes.
Yeah. During special times.
Yeah, reading. Reading is special time.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. How do we end this show again?
And until something.
Thank you for listening, and until the government decide that you need to be applied with. Wait a minute, this is all already happening. Never mind. Remember who pitched this?
Bye.
Bye.